This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Are you serious?
Nice to see you. No, I'm mooching off him.
Really?
He's mooching off me. How's it going? I was at one of the set visits, too. Just to be still very quick.
I think but we were actually all at the same one.
The same one?
Well, you were at more Vegas. Space.
Right.
It'd be interesting we can compare articles.
Yeah. Of clothing.
You're like, wow, you guys have the same.
What's really funny is we'll be able to write about this stuff earlier than we can write about our segments.
Now, when can you write about this stuff?
That's a good question. You should say everything now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I do want to start by saying, you guys, Disney has been doing Dreams, Disney, I don't even know, whatever. They do a lot of press now. They've really stepped it up with Long Lead, all this kind of stuff. How is it for you guys to be talking like so much about your movie? You know what I mean?
I haven't said a thing all day. Shut the fuck up, this guy next to me. It's good, because I didn't get much sleep last night, so I'm like, take it away. Every now and then I smile.
Well, I feel like it's being all with you. No, we. Oh, actually, I don't feel like we've done that much Long Lead because we did the Comic-Con. The CinemaCon. And now this. In fact,
which is more already Long Lead than I've ever done.
I feel in a way it's like, you know, because the trailer hasn't come out yet. So I feel like we're actually holding back a little bit.
We're ahead of the curve.
When is the trailer coming out? You've seen the trailer?
It's next Friday.
Next Friday.
Next Friday, but yeah. I think a lot of the films...
Next Friday?
They're out.
Yeah, 13th.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
So,
wow, cool.
You can see this
Apple movies are coming out in front of a film. Or?
I feel like it's Apple.
Excuse me when I talk to this gentleman over here about when our trailer's coming out. It'd be nice if I fucking knew. Anyway, carry on. So it's coming out when?
Actually, I asked to talk to that guy.
It's next Friday.
Next Friday, but I don't know if it's theatrical
in front of a movie or...
I think so,
oh, really?
In front of Priest, that's right. That's right. See, what do I know?
Thank you.
That's very funny.
Could you talk about trying to appeal to a more sophisticated vampire audience than clearly the original ones? You have to make changes in order to reach these people, speak to them, and how you address that?
It's funny, it's like, I don't know what a sophisticated vampire
is. People are used to vampires.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, I went back to...
You'd probably say sophisticated, slightly older, you probably mean.
No, or just people who have seen vampire movies in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, actually, I think it's there is. And yeah. I think what attracted to me to this the script, other than obviously the tone, which is this great blend of horror and comedy, is the way that Marty wrote the vampire is so refreshingly back to the idea of a monster. I mean, it's like where he's a predator, he's like a sexual predator, and that's something that I think we've lost track of recently. You know, it's become much more about the romance and there's no real threat to it. And it's like, I actually like the reality of thinking about this being as a predator and how he would exist and how he would get around. And it starts to almost get into the realms of like, you know, like a sexual predator or a serial killer. And those aspects come into it and sort of ground him that way.
So is that what lured you in, the idea?
I didn't hear a word he said. What did he say? What did he say?
You're scary.
I actually, you know what's cool?
Just the same as the rest of the day?
You know what? I used your answer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, carry on. Now ask him a question, because I just answered.
You agree 100% because you said it earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you
no, go, sorry. One sec, brother. Yeah. Sorry. What were you asking?
The idea of vampire pressure.
Yes.
I mean... How appealing is that for you? Because we've gone away from that recently.
Less appealing for me than a vampire. Initially less appealing for me than the idea of a vampire that is drawn by some misgiving, is drawn by some sense of longing that he can't quite satiate. The Madame Mina character in Dracula and how even when she didn't exist, even when he wasn't aware of her in the world, he was looking for her. She was that thing that he was always searching for that he didn't even know. So I was drawn to that notion of the vampire as a romantic icon. And then when I read this script, I loved the script. I mean, I loved the original, and I didn't want to like the script, and I liked the script, and I was like, balls. Oh, no. And I met him, and I liked him, and I went, double balls, or just a pair. But the vampire was designed in a very particular way, as he said, as a sexual predator, as a survivalist, as kind of the ultimate example of carnivorous existence, someone that acts without compunction, remorse, or even contemplation. And it was less appealing to me than the kind of vampire I initially designed. And I found it kind of oppressive, and I was like, can we just, you know, does he have to pick her up in the nightclub? Can we not have the seduction a little bit more? You know, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we get more out of myself and Imogen as Amy? Can we? And I had to just, about 2 weeks into the film, literally, I was like, Colin, you're fighting the wrong fight. Address what's designed in the script. You know, bring your own thing to it, but really engage with this notion of this kind of animal, this monster, this beast. Mm-hmm. And then it became a point of liberation. I really just enjoyed walking in his shoes, and I enjoyed kind of engaging with that kind of cruel sense of power that Jerry carries with himself through the whole film. He so gets off on his own power, on his own strength. And he's also kind of bored. He's really bored with humanity. He's like so sick of these fucking humans, you know, they're so dull. And he needs them to feed. If he can get a bit of sport out of them at the same time, that's well and good. And Charlie shows himself to be a worthy adversary, and that's where the game kind of takes off into a world of its own, because there are some things that Jerry does in his film that I'm reading and I was like, that's not really smart if he doesn't want to draw attention to himself. So I came to just the realization that he's just quite bored after 400 years of living a, you know, solitary and cyclical existence of daily repetition.
Could you guys, I was just going to ask quick, could you talk about for the two of you, what is the most important things of the original film you wanted to bring into this one? Like, what you felt, maybe, you know, compare and contrast, what you wanted to modernize, stuff like that?
For me, the only thing I wanted to have in the film was the apple. I just wanted to, because of Chris Sarandon catching the apple and chewing the apple. But I didn't have a watcher like Chris's Jerry has. I didn't have somebody that he lives with, or a gay lover, whatever way you want it. So you know, I didn't have anyone to throw it. But we, you know, kept it off the table. The apple was the only thing I wanted to, just as a nod of the head to Chris.
And that was something, talking to Chris, that he, you know, that was something he conceived with Tom when they were working on the character. And then, was that?
It was to clean his fangs.
No, there was the whole, you know, just.
You said it may have been a fruit bat.
No, actually, because I remember Tom, I know Tom, and he'd actually said that when they first met about it, it was so that Jerry could clean his fangs.
Really? Genius. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah.
So I really actually wanted to incorporate that as well. I mean, there's a certain structure that pays homage to the original. There's certain set pieces, like the nightclub that we revisit. And obviously the structure of it's the vampire next door, and the, you know, not believing and then becoming a believer. So it was good to keep that all, you know, stay true to some of those aspects. But then at the end of the day, it was rewritten as quite a different piece.
Yeah.
I thought it was really... Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
you go ahead.
Do you go back and look at the Christopher Lees and those things for what you don't want to do, what you do want to do?
Not really, no. Not really. I mean, I've seen Christopher's work, and I've seen Bela Lugosi's work, and I've seen the cast from Near Dark and Lost Boys and the Eastern European film Vampire and Nosferatu, and I really was a fan of vampire films, but not. I didn't go back into them. I did watch Friday Night about a month before we went to shoot, and I shit myself going, what are we doing? It's so good. But as I said, I was kind of, initially I felt oppressed by having this vampire's design in the film, and then it liberated me that it really... It was so predatorial, the Jerry, as he was designed, and the Jerry that I hoped I portrayed. So predatorial that it was really liberating. It really was. But I didn't go back into any of the stuff. I remembered, I mean, it's all in the back of my head somewhere, and there are certain things, like everyone, when Christopher Mintz-Plasse got his fangs, when I got my fangs, as soon as they go in your mouth, you go, you can't. You're like, oh, God. You know, and you just, there's certain things you do that you've seen in films, you know, that you're hardwired kind of at this stage to do and enjoy.
Well, I noticed in the footage we saw today that there's the scenes where Charlie is going through Jerry's house and everything, and we kind of see, you know, his office. Do you guys touch a little bit on his backstory at all, or are you guys just doing it sort of alluding to it but not really talking about it? And is he going to have a
kind
crazy
of
sister?
A little bit.
crazy sister that pops up in a sequel?
Yeah, that he's texting. What's the food like in Ireland?
Yeah.
Bit bitter. No, we do allude to it. There was something that we came up with that will probably piss some old fans off, maybe some will like it, which was something to do with the relationship between, well, I stop talking now? Between Jerry and David Tennant's character, whose name, of course, I'm...
Peter Vincent.
Yeah, Peter Vincent. There's something that we alluded to, a history shared between them that wasn't, we just kind of came up with.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the original. And David Tennant, Peter Vincent, talks a bit about Jerry and where Jerry comes from, and what line of that there are different strains of vampire, and what line he comes from, what Eastern European line, what Mediterranean line Jerry comes from. So there was stuff in that, and that allowed me to go back to Greece in 1642 and kind of go from there. And literally, you know, I had this idea of Jerry being at Versailles at one stage and drinking in drawing rooms, you know, in London with some great poets, and getting his, kicking his knees up with Arthur Rimbaud in Paris. And really, I mean, you kind of get to go, wow, what kind of life you could live if you were a vampire over 400 years traveling around the world. What you could kind of draw testament to as personal experience. It was all fun.
But we don't get into it so much, but it's alluded to. You were right. I should have just said yes, what she said the second time.
You guys talked a little bit. There's a hypothetically speaking, if any of us were on set, there was a really cool crane shot in a club. Again, I don't know if it's in the movie or not, but could you sort of talk about, like, you know, the way you guys wanted to shoot the film, the way you wanted to make the film look? I guess this is more towards you.
First of all, we've got Javier Gerez Rory as our DP. He did The Others, which has got this great mood to it. He did The Road, he did The Last Two Twilights. I mean, he's done 54 movies. It's just this incredibly beautiful, soft light that has a real sense of mood to it. So that was the start. And then from that, obviously, we're shooting 3D. And part of that attracted me was that we're in a real world. It's like two guys standing in a kitchen. And so to actually shoot 3D and feel like you're in that space, or you can look around somebody, it starts to become imposing and threatening. And we wanted to really do that and not take people out of the 3D world by reminding them in 3D a lot. I mean, we have those moments in the action sequences, which are always fun, but just in terms of dialogue and feeling like you're in that room, it just started to have this sense of foreboding to it. And then the thing with 3D as well is you've got to keep the camera on. Or it just, you know, you don't get the sense of space. So it takes you back to this more classic way of filmmaking. When you look at the older films, they show you the big pictures. And it's a very composed, classical frame. You know, you can't do handheld, it's just too heavy. And you start to get sick if the camera is moving too quickly or there's too many cuts in it. So it lends itself to more traditional filmmaking.
Where is it at? Where are you at now? Are you still editing? Or
we are very close to being done. A few weeks away, getting the final shots, like effect shots, and composing and scoring, and it's good. It's going well.
Thank you, guys.
No.
Me?
Yeah. Hey. All right. Thanks, guys.
See you all.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, ladies and gentlemen.